thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.
What's up, Atlanta sports fans? I'm Graham Waldrop, and alongside me, as always, is Adam Pitter-Patter Kalal, and we are Atlanta's Own. Two Atlanta natives recapping the week that was in Atlanta professional sports, wackiest hijinks and analysis, presented by Belly Up Sports. Adam, how's it going, sir?
I need an explanation on that nickname before we get started here.
I think you're a dainty walker.
What? Excuse me?
Yeah, you don't stomp like a man. You prance like a gazelle. Pitter-Patter. Or a deer.
Interesting.
Not even like a prance, but you have a very light footstep, I've noticed, for a guy. Especially with your height.
Right.
You're okay, like, so you're like 6'2 or something?
I'd be 6'3.
6'3, Jesus.
All, being light on your feet.
You're like Zach Edey or something.
Being light on your feet. That's
only a foot shorter.
That's a sign of a true athlete, Graham.
Yeah, true athlete.
Not some lummox like yourself.
Right.
Just clomping around.
Like,
anyway.
Stomp. But,
Get it right there, bud.
Right.
But doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Overall.
Okay.
You know, first podcast of baseball season, so that's exciting. We got a lot to catch up on there.
It was our first week off since the new year, I think. I think we've been consistently churning one out once a week, and then I can't remember why we had to not meet up last week, but it doesn't matter. No one gives a shit. We're talking now.
Life got in the way, man.
I did
go to a Hawks game last year.
Last year. You didn't go last year. You went this year.
Last week, I finally made it to Hawks game.
We went to the Hawks game together.
Which was fun. They looked pretty okay.
Sure.
But, you know.
Gave up 50 points to, what is it, Malachi Preston or something?
It was crazy.
Flynn. Like, Malachi Flynn.
We were, like, watching the game, but, like, I had no idea, like, Jalen Johnson had a triple-double.
I knew he was having a really good game, but I didn't know he hit a triple-double.
Stats are tougher to follow, like, live. You just see, oh, yeah, that's a basket.
Well,
that's
it's weird. Basket. It's like, having gone to, like, and it's, so every Hawks game I've been to, they've won this year. I think I've been to 5-0 in the games I've gone to. And normally I do follow the stats pretty closely when I notice a player's doing well. But I saw Jalen was having a good game, but I didn't notice Flynn at all until the the guy who sits in front of us in every game was like, this Flynn guy's got 50 points. And I was like, the hell? I was like, that can't be right. I was like, I noticed he made a couple of threes, but I was like, he's got 50 points?
Yeah.
I was like, Jesus. Just another guy. I think he's the third or fourth guy to score at least 50 points against the Hawks this year.
I still can't believe that you've missed out on the opportunity. Like, you just don't have a sales gene in you for this podcast, Graham. You got a guy who's a season ticket Hawks dude,
I'm so bad at pitching myself.
He's in the front row every single game of the for like. I'm assuming he's got a full ticket package.
He might have the same thing that we did this year, like seven games
or
whatever.
He's just jonesing to talk to you. I keep seeing him turn around trying to get your attention.
Yeah, we always, you know, we'll exchange.
And I was like, oh, surely he's one of our, you know, 50
loyal users. He might be. We just haven't talked about it. I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like sometimes it's hard to hear. I'm going to be like, Atlanta's Own, you know, I don't know. I'm so bad at, like I said, I'm horrible at pitching myself. I'm horrible. Like, I don't want to talk about myself. Sure. And that's a bad thing when you're in the podcast game or you're trying to sell something.
Well, here's what you do, Graham. You just say, oh, yeah, I've been listening to this podcast called Atlanta's Own.
I did that with an Uber driver once about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, because he was listening to 19 on the game. I was like, so you like sports, obviously. He's like, oh, yeah, big Atlanta sports fan. I was like, you heard Atlanta Zone, and he's like, no. It's like, man, these guys are hilarious, and they talk about all the local teams, and it's just Atlanta professional sports. He's like, I'll check it out. And I was
nice.
Like, yeah, so I should just do that. I hadn't thought about that in, you know, forever.
Yeah, just 100% lie.
But
it was fun. I felt like giddy going to a sports game again.
Sure.
It is just, you know, you feel the energy.
It's your first Hawks game, I think, in like, 2 years or something?
A couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Got a Braves game later this month that I'm going to. So that's, you know, two Atlanta live events in a month is pretty big for me.
Adam doesn't go to a lot of Atlanta
it's
sporting events.
But I will say, like, I felt so good, like, coming home from that because I ended up hopping on the bus after I got off the train. Right. And it was like, I just got home and, like, you know, it probably took 40 minutes overall from train to bus, but like for 250. And it just made me pissed at the Braves all over again for being way up there.
It would be so, because we live so close to Turner Field. Mm-hmm. You know, we could walk if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're not there anymore is incredibly annoying.
But we got to get over that one.
We got to get over that one.
It's a massive, massive.
I don't know what's in my drink. Adam, what was in your shaker?
You're the only one that ever uses it.
Look at it. It's got black shit all over it. Who knows what I'm drinking?
I don't know if
it's like
you.
It looks like pepper flakes or something. Hopefully it's pepper and not poison.
Might be pepper.
Yeah. And I'm just going to look at it. He's like, what the hell is this?
Can't just have you. Yeah, it's pepper.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, it gives it a nice little kick.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into Braves talk, Graham.
Yeah, lots happened.
No one wants to hear about pepper in your drink.
Well, I don't know. It was fascinating because I made this margarita. I was like, oh, this is a good one. And then it's like all this black stuff just rose to the top. And I was like, the shit is that?
What lesson did you learn there?
That your shaker's not clean.
Verify.
Yeah, fair enough. So, like I failed to do to verify that there was pepper in the shaker, the Braves failed to verify that maybe Spencer Strider learning a new pitch would fuck up his arm.
I like how you're so that's been my hot take is that, you know, for those of you who live under a rock,
you go
Spencer Strider, Mark Andre. You know, he's out with some sort of UCL injury.
Yes,
which is a pitching elbow injury for those of you.
Normally translates to Tommy John surgery to repair.
Right. So we know he's out for a while. We don't know. We'll find out this weekend, I believe, how long that is. But it was just my instant take that it's because he learned a curveball. It's probably not the case at all.
It might not be
possible.
Well, the thing about, I mean, the curveball, it's a different arm slot. You know, he's not used to throwing from that arm slot. His body isn't. So it's like that really, like throwing a changeup. Like when we played baseball, which was a long time ago.
I love it when you like do a medical analysis.
Well, it's the only reference I can think of, right?
Also,
I mean, in terms of like the only thing I have experience with.
Your changeup, all you did was palm it. And
I threw a circle change.
And you slowed your arm down so much and just lobbed it up there.
Well, I kind of did a little break on it, too. I kind of had a curveball. It was like a curveball Ephus pitch. Weird.
It's in no way relevant to Spencer Strider's
injury. But what I'm trying to say is that when you throw a curveball and you're not used to, like, I tried to throw a curveball a couple of times, not in games, but just like when we were messing around in practice. And I noticed immediately my elbow did not like it because it was like a different way of having to like really break your wrist in terms of not like literally breaking your wrist, but the way your wrist moves when you deliver the pitch. And so I can imagine for Strider, right, having to. And he threw the curveball a good amount in his first two starts. I imagine doing that just over the course of time, your elbow's not used to that, and then it caught up with him and messed up his UCL. That's I mean, maybe that wasn't it. There could have been a whole myriad of other
things.
He's already had Tommy John surgery. But when you introduce something new to your body, and your body's not used to doing it over and over and over and over again over a extended period of time, You could screw yourself, and I think that's potentially what happened here.
Yeah, and this is a perfect example of why it's in a lot of these Braves players' interest to take these early deals, like where Spencer Strider already signed a contract.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
You know, he's got his money because injuries like this happen, and who knows how long it's going to take him to come back, and very, very unfortunate. It certainly dampens the good vibes that the rest of the early starts of the season given us. So it's a bummer, man.
It's a huge bummer. And not only like that happened, but in the first series, Sean Murphy pulled his oblique, so he's out for God knows how long.
Yeah, first game.
So yeah, it's kind of sucked the start of the season. Like the offense has been as good as advertised. First in average, second on base percentage, first in slugging, first in on base plus slugging percentage. So like they're doing their job, even if some individual players haven't like really caught fire yet, like Ronald Acuna in particular. And some guys are playing out of their minds right now, including Arcia, and Jared Kelenic has just been outstanding, providing some much needed pop. But the pitching has sucked. 17th in ERA, like 18th in WHIP.
Well, most of that is Max Fried. The bullpen's been great.
The bullpen's been good, but the rotation, like Chris Sale's probably been the best pitcher so far. Morton looked like he was throwing batting practice last night. Max Fried looks like his heart's not in the game right now to me, the way he's pitching. He didn't get out of his first inning in Philadelphia. And you can say, like, there was a bad third strike, no call. That should have gotten him out of it. But he, you know, he didn't get out of the first inning. Mm-hmm. And then he gives up seven runs or something in his next start against Arizona and only lasts four innings.
Right after Spencer Strider got hurt.
Yeah, the day after. So it's like Max needs to wake up. I know he knows that. I'm sure he's pissed off. But he really needs to rally and lead the staff. Because Chris Sale's going down at some point, I'm telling you. Are you? Well, look at the last 5 years, Adam. He's on the injured list at least two or three times a year.
Well, let's put this podcast episode into context. Graham has come into this one sleepy and a little cranky. So, like, these are the types of takes you're going to get. So just get used to it. Like,
I'm going to have a wild take that you're going to go, in a second. So say what you're going to say. I'll pretend like I'm listening, like you usually pretend like you're listening, and then I'll spout off.
Chris Sale's looked really good.
Yes. Early.
Renaldo Lopez has looked really good.
Yes.
You know, I think you just have it out for Charlie Morton.
We do not need to pay him $23 million to throw batting practice. I'm sorry.
And who else do we have? Yeah, Freed's been terrible. Strider's out now. You know, I'd imagine eventually.
Yeah, who's going to take a spot? No one really knows.
I'm sure it's eventually going to be Elder.
Probably. Winans got called up as sort of an emergency guy the day after, but I don't think he's sticking around.
I think Elder just pitched. So yeah, the starting rotation, that's a bit of a bummer, but you know, if Fried can start doing Max Fried stuff, Sale stays healthy, like the bullpen's just so freaking good right now.
The bullpen's great, but they're being overextended early in the season. Like you know how many quality starts we have, Adam?
Two?
One. Tied for 28th in the league.
Yeah.
Terrible.
That ain't it. It's early. You know, I feel like this
bullpen's throwing like five innings every day.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah. But, you know,
it is a long season, but Jesus.
Yeah, we're two times through the rotation.
Yeah. Tyler Matzek has looked great. That's been unbelievable to see.
I mean, it's not the same overuse in the bullpen because, like, you can go to different guys every night. You know, like, it used to always be A.J. Minter, like, last year. Right. We had, like, three arms that you would just overuse. Right. But, like, that's not the case this year.
Reliably depend on.
Yeah.
You can pretty much depend on all those guys right now.
Yeah.
Even Aaron Bummer, I know I can't remember which game he had a bad game in, but overall
I think the Phillies game.
Yeah, I've been happy with what he's done so far. Natsik's looked great, which is so inspiring. I still need to build the statue outside of Truist Park. Iglesias has looked good. That whole Arizona series was crazy. Braves sweep that series and came back from big deficits in two of those games, including a 6-0 deficit on Saturday night. That was just really inspiring to see. But throughout that entire series, the bullpen gave up no runs.
Crazy.
They were out. And Arizona's good. If you don't remember, they won the National League title last year. They have a young, good core. Corbin Carroll, Ketel Marte, Christian Walker. These are thumpers. These are really good hitters. And for the bullpen to go in there and shut them down and give the offense a chance to work their magic was awesome. And so you're probably seeing that this team's going to have to slug its way to the division title again right now with the way things are shaking out. And the bullpen's got to do what they got to do, and the rotation has to get its act and basically has to get its act together. And what I'm about to say is going to piss Adam off, I know. I don't think...
Wait, can I guess?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Anthopoulos related?
It's Anthopoulos related.
I don't think Anthopoulos knows how to build a rotation.
It's not exactly he knows how to build a rotation, but he needs to go for the jugular, man. He never makes the move in free agency to go for the kill. Like the Phillies did that last year when they got Trey Turner, when I really wish we could have done that. And yes, the Phillies didn't win the championship, but they've gone farther than us the last 2 years because they keep going after these big free agents that deliver. And I'm really kind of flabbergasted by the fact that we didn't go after Blake Snell. We didn't go after Yamamoto. Yes, we went after Nola, but I don't understand why we can't throw a bunch of money at somebody and say, let's go get the best free agent pitcher and let's make it a priority. I know we tried to get Nola, but you know, Snell and Yamamoto were the best free agent pitchers, and there was no effort to get either one of them. And I don't understand why we can't do that when the Battery's printing money, Truist Park's printing money. You know, you look at the stadium ever since COVID, right? The state, like, we're like top four in attendance. Like, why can't we go get the big bad free agent? Why do we have to settle for Chris Sale, who has been good, but he's not what he was?
I don't like. Have you watched him pitch? He's looked great.
No, he's looked good, but he's not what he was. He's not the dominant. I'm going to go seven innings and strike out 12 guys. We need a guy that, like, Blake Snell is capable of that.
I think he could certainly
Yamamoto
get
is capable
there.
Of that.
He could certainly get there, and like, he doesn't do that because like, he has never given out a huge contract to a pitcher because it's going to hamstring him for what he can do.
That's what we did with Strider, and look what happened. So I guess you could look at it that way. What?
How much did he pay Spencer Strider?
I think it was like
$70 million.
Yeah, $70 million, $80 million.
How much did Blake Snell get?
Can't remember, but Yamamoto has got like 350
or something.
That's
not the same thing, Greg.
All right, fine. But I'm just saying, like, if you want to put yourself over the top, especially with how injury plagued this rotation has been the last 3 years, nothing was done to substantially upgrade it, and that's frustrating to me.
I think Chris Sale is a big upgrade.
He's good, and he has the potential to recapture that greatness, but I would have loved to say we rolled out the red carpet for Blake Snell and got a proven winner who can be an ace of a staff. And then imagine if Strider was still healthy and you have Snell, Strider, Fried. That scares you a hell of a lot more than Strider, Fried, and Sale.
I don't think so. I think they're...
Snell is much better than Sale.
I think they're pretty damn similar. I mean, I understand it hasn't been over the last few years, but, you know, he's had some freak injuries. It's not like it's arm stuff that's taken him down.
There's been a couple of elbow things over the last four or five years. But you're right. Like, the last couple of years, it's been other stuff.
I'm going to mark this where...
Okay.
You know, I think you're just sleeping
on... I think we're going down the same path, Adam. And I'm over... This is hashtag overreaction Tuesday when we're recording. But I think we're going down the same path of... whatever, starting pitching, and a great offense that has the potential to flame out in the playoffs. To win in the postseason, the Braves got really lucky in 2021 in the sense that that rotation did its job, but it was really banged up. 2022 and 2023, it didn't work out. You can't win consistently in the playoffs unless you have a great rotation, and this is not a great rotation. Charlie Morton looks old. Max Fried looks like he's throwing batting practice.
You cannot, like... say all these things after two starts through the rotation.
I'm
not going to allow
Spencer Strider's gone.
I'm not going to allow. Yes, that hurts. Like, I think you're feeling a little hurt about that.
But didn't I bring it up, like, depth in the rotation last year, and that was a problem, and that was fully realized in October? This is happening again this year.
I think we've hashed this argument 17 times on this podcast. I still think we have depth in the rotation.
We have depth, but we don't have a proven winner. Like, all those guys in
Gwinnett. Chris Sale is not a proven winner.
I'm not talking about Chris Sale.
Charlie Morton's not a proven winner.
I'm not talking
winner.
About those guys. I'm talking about...
Max Fried's not a proven winner. I'm talking, are you crazy, Graham?
Adam, I'm talking about the guys in Gwinnett that are going to come up here and try to fill the shoes of Max Fried. It's unfair and unrealistic to expect them to provide the production of Spencer Strider. But
no, I'm not expecting that.
But you have, in terms of your depth, in terms of, like, the guys you're going to bring up...
You can't plan for losing your ace.
But you could if you had Snell. Like, if you had Snell and you lose Strider, it's like...
What if he gets hurt?
Yeah, anyone could get hurt, but I would rather have Snell and Strider than Sale and Strider, because Sale has been hurt for the last 5 years consistently. He's going to go down at some point, guaranteed. And then you're going to look at me and be like,
Well, it's not like you're not some Nostradamus for saying Chris Sale might get hurt. Like, it's been a huge talking point and a concern.
Which is why I didn't want to take the chance on him without... also getting another...
Blake Snell wanted, like...
front shelf,
he wanted
top
like
shelf
a
starter.
10-year deal or something crazy like that that would have just, like...
I know, and Thomas doesn't like to do that. And some,
screwed us down the road.
Yeah, that's probably... You can argue that it's smart not to do that, but I really want to just... One of these years for Anthopoulos just to really go for it, and I just feel like we never do that, and we just expect these guys from Gwinnett to come up and be like, maybe they'll figure it out, and we just see where that's gotten us the last 2 years. Trash.
Okay, moving on.
I'm just saying, bad results in the postseason.
Sure.
So
it's been a lot of injuries. You can't have 17 aces.
No, you can't, but it's just like the last 2 years has been a banged-up rotation, and then the big free agent signing for the rotation is a guy who's been banged up, and it's just...
Well, he was a trade.
Or trade, sorry. The big acquisition, I should say.
I think it was really smart that they instantly re-signed him.
I guess.
Like, he's loved in the clubhouse. Like, you saw his first start, like, how he got everyone fired up, and they came back and won
when he left
the game.
And I really liked the way he pitched in his last start, especially. Like, you saw the craftiness. You saw the veteran savvy, and you saw his fastball. You saw the off-speed pitch. He looked like Chris Sale that we know. That was a successful in Boston, which is great. Hopefully, you can keep that up. Here's my real question.
Well, also, the other thing with Blake's, we don't deal with Scott Boras.
He's a Boras guy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's why he got, like, Boras screwed all of his free agents this year. So we might have talked to him, and Boras was just being an a-hole.
He could have, yeah.
And, like, he screwed all of his clients over.
But right.
We don't have any Boras.
That's true. We don't mess with that guy. I don't think we messed with him since Michael Bourne.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that might have been the last time we messed with Scott Boras. Here's my question to you, though, about where the rotation is, and we're going to end that discussion. But thinking about the future of the rotation. you know, if Max Fried gets his stuff together, right, and pitches like how we know he can, do you revisit extension discussions?
No, he's gone.
Even though you're going to have Spencer Strider out for at least a year and a half, and then Charlie Morton's probably retiring after this year, so what does your rotation look like next year? You got to think about the long-term viability of the franchise.
Sure, maybe it changes things a little bit.
Yeah.
But, well, maybe Fried will just suck all year, and he has to take a one-year
prove-it deal, and then he gets his shit together again.
We'll give you $18 million for 1 year. No problem, Max.
It is a big concern, though, because like you look at this rotation, and it's like I said, Morton probably retires. Strider gone. Fried potentially gone. Sale old / injury prone. Still effective. And then your fifth starter is a mystery. I mean, Lopez has looked good so far, but it's two starts. So I'm wondering what is going through the mind of Alex Anthopoulos right now when it comes to the rotation. But
I do know that my boy Hurston Waldrop got shelled his last start, so that's not great. But
it's still so early. Like, even I'm overreacting 1,000%, and I know this.
Good,
but
good,
like,
good.
Like, just because Hurston Waldrop got shelled doesn't mean he's not the heir apparent, apparently.
No. So. I think Elder was fantastic in his last start.
That's good.
In AAA.
So I would like Elder. I mean, Elder.
If he can just come up and eat innings for us.
I don't want another Yanni Chirinos situation, though, last year. Like, that was embarrassing.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah. This guy, you don't remember Yanni Chirinos?
Like, Texas or something?
No, he's from Tampa Bay. He sucked ass. He would, every fifth day, he'd give up like five runs and just, he'd pitch five innings. But it was just, I was like, what the hell are we doing here?
Yeah.
I don't want another situation like that.
So, yeah, hopefully Elder can run with it and be the first half Elder and, you know, stabilize things and eat some innings. And
any update on Ian Anderson? I haven't heard anything.
I don't think he's throwing yet. I know,
he should come back at some point, though, this year.
Wasker's been throwing. All I know about him was one tweet I saw where his fastball was at 92.
Jesus.
And his changeup was at 90. So it's
like, oh, yeah, that's a big difference coming out of the hand, Bo.
Yeah, so.
Damn it. Man, if Wasker just hadn't broken his hand.
Yeah.
He was carrying us, man, that year.
Yep. Let's talk about this offense, though, Graham.
Yeah, the offense has been outstanding. Jared Kelnick, let's start there. The beast. Sitting like 600 coming into this week. What I'm really impressed with Kelnick so far is so many times, even in the major leagues, you see a guy swing and he's, you know, his head's not on the ball. Every single swing Kelnick takes, he's looking right, like his head, he's not lifting his head. He is right on it. He's staying inside pitches. He's driving it. You know, when pitches are inside, he's pulling it. When it's outside, he's going with it. We saw that in the very first at bat against Philadelphia, the game we watched at Midway. He just went with his pitch, hit a nice single to right field. And then, you know, the other night against Arizona, he got this inside pitch and crushed it to left field. And he doesn't have like the big power or anything, but he's just getting on base like an absolute maniac. Well, and his approach is fantastic.
Well, I think
he's not trying to do too much.
I think he is a power guy, but he's like making an effort to just get on base like he's doing. Like he's just trying to hit line drives, and
outstanding.
The home runs will come, I'm sure. But
and the slump will come, of course. You can't say this hot, but I'm highly encouraged by what I'm seeing from Kelnick so far.
Yeah, early returns are great. Defense has been great, and you know, it's like still platooning him with Duvall some, which is
fine.
That's a strong platoon.
You need to give Duvall some chances, and Duvall has delivered in that first game against Philadelphia, especially. And I'm trying to think of other. There's another game he got a big hit too, but Duvall's solid. We know Duvall's solid.
Yeah, and, like the game we came back from like six or seven down. Snit has been pulling some pretty good strings where Duvall started that game and he pulled him to bring in Kelnick and. He got the knock to tie it up.
Yeah. The thing I like about Snit over Bobby Cox, and it's a totally different kind of way of managing because we're like an American League rules now, you know, whereas Bobby had to contend with the pitcher and the double switch and all that bullshit. But even before the universal DH got instilled in, across baseball, the thing I really like about Snit is he doesn't ride a particular bench player. You know, like Bobby, especially in the later years, is like Corky Miller was 1,000% going to be the pinch hitter. It didn't matter how much he sucked. It was like, that was my guy. I'm going with him. Snitker is not afraid to just go with the best available option. in terms of bringing someone off the bench, and he knows exactly when to pull the string. And you're exactly right. He's great at that. So I can't. And he's really, you know, overall, he's been really good with the bullpen, like over the years. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I've been impressed with him,
which I'm sure is the toughest part of his job.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in the playoffs last year, he did not do a great job with that. But I mean, you look at what he did in the 2021 run to the World Series, and there was maybe only like one or two decisions that were like, "What are you doing?" Every other thing was like perfection.
Well, he just ran Matzik out there.
He ran Matzik out there, but even think about like Jorge Soler in the World Series when he pinched him, and I think it was Game 4, he put him in for Jock Peterson, and he hit the home run over in left field that Yordan Alvarez couldn't quite catch. Or the time in Game 6 when he put in what was that guy? It's not Hechevarria, but it was who was the other little utility player that we had all those years ago who got that huge hit in Game 6? I can't remember.
It wasn't Hechevarria?
I don't think it was Hechevarria. It was someone else. Anyway, I can't remember but he put in this guy in Game 6 to pinch hit in, I think, like the fourth or fifth inning, and he got a double down the line. Adrianza.
Oh, yeah.
Put him in. And then it was like early on too, and I was like, "This is really gonna. You're really gonna do this with two outs." And then he got Eddie Rosario up when he was, you know, hitting second and just mashing in that NLCS, and that set up the big three-run homer to put us up for good in that NLCS. And it's like he has a feel for things, and I trust him. Mm-hmm. I trust him overall.
Yeah, Kelnick's been great. Arcia's been just striping it left and right.
Yeah, he's been hitting really well, playing good defense.
Michael Harris is getting off to that fast start we wanted. Ozuna's been a monster.
He's got four or five home runs.
He's got five. Olsen's been a monster. Riley's been hot the last week. Albies is hitting 317. It's really just
Acuna. Acuna hasn't done much so far.
Acuna, 243. Darno, 192.
Yeah, like Acuna. Darno did get that game-winning hit the other night but on Saturday. But Acuna, there's something weird going on with his body language. He looks a little jittery. He doesn't look locked. He looks like a little nervous to me. He doesn't look like how loose he was last year. He's still getting some stolen bases. He's getting on base. But even his hits, it doesn't feel like he's hitting the ball as hard. He's striking out more than you like him to so far. He's just getting settled in. I'm not going to worry about him. We know he's an MVP caliber player. Obviously won the MVP last year. But he hasn't done much yet. But I think it's coming. At least I hope it's coming. But so far, he's been like the one guy I've been watching where I'm like, he doesn't look like himself. There's something in his body language that doesn't look totally right to me right now. And I can't really put my finger on it, but it's just like his at-bats aren't as good as they usually are. He did have a really good at-bat last night, even that loss against the Mets where he worked a walk. It was impressive, but... And he was down, I think, 0-2 in the count late in the game. But overall, he's just not what he has been throughout his career. But it's like we said, it's 2 weeks. A number of guys are struggling out of the gate. Rafael Devers is struggling in Boston. Gunnar Henderson is struggling in Baltimore. Like, there are people that are having issues so far starting the year. He'll be fine. We know how great Ronald is.
Yeah, if you only have two out of your nine guys going bad, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Overall.
And like we said, you know, number one in average, number two in on base, first in slugging and OPS. Like, this offense is on it. So I don't think there's much to fear there. And in terms of like the rest of the division, you know, the Mets beat us 8-7 last night. I think the Braves are.
I love seeing these Mets, those photos of, you know, no one in the stand for their opening series and all that. It's just like they're a joke.
They're a joke. Yeah. And that's where, you know, the big bad owner who had the unlimited pockets made the wrong decision, right?
And last year. And that's what you want Anthopoulos to do.
Well, I want Anthopoulos not to go invest in two pitchers that are combined 82 years old.
Told me, Graham. You want proven winners.
I want proven winners, but you got to think about, like, what does it mean to bring in those guys? Like, that's a big liability. Like, Max Scherzer can't stay healthy. He's still hurt for Texas right now.
Yeah.
And so is Verlander. Verlander hasn't started a game yet for Houston. It's just, you know, but Blake Snell is young. I get it with the Boris thing. But anyway, like, the Braves are fine. 6-3. Good start to the season. We'll see how this week shapes out. I know we play the Mets. I can't remember who we play after that. But Yeah. Overall, like offense great, bullpen great, rotation has work to do. I think that's like TLDR summary of the league so far, or the league, the season so far.
Yeah. To finish, what you were starting, Phillies are 5-5, Mets are 4-6, Nationals, surprising 4-6, and Miami.
1-10, right?
Yeah.
Sucks.
I know that. I mean, these elbow injuries are a real concern. Like Yuri Perez, their 20-year-old stud.
He got hurt too, right?
Yeah, he's out for the year.
Do you think it's a pitching clock thing that's contributing to this? Or
no.
I
know like MLB's Tony Clark with MLB's Players Association.
Tony Clark or Will Clark?
It's Tony Clark.
Tony Clark.
Yeah. Will Clark is a different baseball player.
Okay.
Yeah, he was kind of like blaming the pitch clock, but MLB kind of push back on that pretty hard with like actual facts showing that doesn't affect anything as far as like strain on an elbow or anything like that. I mean, I think it's just like they're learning to throw like, you know, 90, 95 is like high schoolers, you know? Right. So like you're getting all that strain early and it's just like the harder you throw, the more injuries there's going to be.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great point. I mean, think about the 80s. Right, the only guy who was like a true flamethrower was Nolan Ryan, and he was a freak of nature. Right, the 90s, people started throwing a little faster, but like it was Clemens and Randy Johnson were the guys that were really ramping it up that could throw 100, and it was like, oh my god, like these guys are insane. And then the 2000s start coming, and you get your Aroldis Chapman's throwing 104, and you know, guys of that ilk, and then everybody starts throwing 97, 98, and it's like, Jesus, God. I mean, you think about, like, Clayton Kershaw, for example. I know he's been banged up a little bit, but he's never had, like, major reconstruction surgery. This is never a guy that was throwing 98, 99. He was always in the 93, 94 range with a killer, you know, curveball and other off-speed pitches, and he's still pitching.
Yeah.
But he never had to do, like, major elbow reconstruction surgery. Maybe there's something to that where it's like, you know, you think about the guys that are getting hurt with their elbows. Now, Strider throws 100. Yuri Perez, I know, has a lot of velocity on his pitches, on his fastball. Probably at the end of the day, you're exactly right. The fastball in particular, I mean, I'm sure the other stuff contributes to it, but throwing that hard, that many times, that young, you're going to flame out. Yeah, unless you're an absolute freak of nature.
I saw a picture that was like side by side of Nolan Ryan and Spencer Strider and like their arm angles.
Yeah.
And like Nolan was like a lot more over the top.
Uh-huh.
And Strider's like way out to the side.
Right.
So you can just see like
puts more stress on your elbow.
More and more strain. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
So yeah, no, it's a bummer. Like obviously we still have a great team, but that hurts. But
yeah. It's a big blow.
That's not the guy you want to lose.
Yeah. And Murphy is a big blow too. I mean, hopefully he can come back sooner than later, but and you love TD back there. I mean, thank God we still have him, but you need Sean Murphy, I think, to really carry this pitching staff. And I'd say Travis can't do it over the course of the season, but Travis is getting older. Murphy's in his prime. We need Murphy.
And it's a good thing. Like Chadwick Trump,
he's a good backup.
Third string catcher.
And he's become kind of Chris Sale's default guy.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the Eddie Perez to Greg Maddux kind of deal.
Which is cool. And like, I mean, he's really got to catch two out of, like, Travis can't even play four games in a row, you know? So like,
right.
he's catching at least twice through the rotation. So he's getting some run, but I mean, he can call a game, and that's the fact that a guy like Chris Sale's like, yeah, I respect this guy.
Yeah. I want this guy.
He knows
guy.
What he's doing. Yeah. Yeah, hopefully Murphy. I don't think he's even doing baseball activities or anything. Yeah.
No, I think, I mean, the oblique, you know, on the side of your body, it's one of those things that when I haven't had that injury personally as a non-athlete, but I've known people that have pulled obliques, and it's apparently just an absolute bitch to recover from.
Yeah.
And so hopefully Sean can, you know, it's going to be a minute. It's going to be a minute before he's back. So, you're exactly right, though. Thank God for Chadwick Trump to be like just a competent backup who can. Every once in a while, he gets a decent hit, you know, offensively. But he's a solid
defensive
catcher. He had a sack
fly the other night.
Yeah, he did.
We'll take that.
Sure. But I think that's your Braves report. Unless you have anything else you want to hit.
I think that covers it, Graham.
Cool. All right, we'll take a break. Hear a word from our sponsor, and then we'll. I don't know what the hell we'll talk about after that. Touch on some things for the Hawks and the. and the Falcons. Ooh, actually got a little Atlanta United for you.
Oh, wow.
Big okay. tease.
All right.
All right.
Hey, everyone. It's Ryan from No Credentials Required to talk to you about one of our newest partners at Belly Up Sports, SeatGeek. Yeah, live sports is great on television, but the feeling of being at the arena is a priceless experience. That's why our friends at SeatGeek are there to help you find the best tickets at the best prices. Not only can you get tickets to sporting events, we can also get tickets to concerts, comedy shows, musicals, and more. Search for your desired event now at SeatGeek.com, enter promo code BellyUpSports at checkout, and you save $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek. Life's an event. We have the tickets.
All right, Adam, we're back. Went to the Atlanta United game over the weekend. It's very fair.
Soccer.
Soccer, yes. Okay. We haven't talked about this in maybe 4 years.
Is Alec Kahn still our goalie?
No. Guzan is still the is the goalie.
We still have Joseph Martinez, though, right?
Of course. No, he's gone. It's been replaced by Giakoumakis. He's the new kind of big scorer.
Giakoumakis.
Yeah, but he's...
Is he Greek?
Yes, he is Greek. He got hurt, unfortunately, in that game against Chicago Fire. A lot of
way to be a jinx, Graham.
But it was interesting. So during the week, Hawks beat the Bulls, Braves beat the White Sox, and Atlanta United beat Chicago Fire. So it was just Atlanta crushing Chicago.
I like it.
Yeah, it was fair. So Atlanta United won 3-0. It was a fun game. That's still just a really good atmosphere, I got to say, even though it's, I know we went to some games the first year and, they were selling out the bins. It was 70,000. This is only about 43 or 44,000.
Upper deck's not open?
Yeah, it shut down some of the upper deck. But I got to say, the atmosphere is still great. And it was fun. I'm starting to really, I don't know why, but this year with United, Alexa watches, got the Apple package and whatnot, watching the MLS games, and I'm starting to just notice things about soccer I hadn't thought about. I would always just watch the ball and be like, this is boring, no one's doing anything, until someone scores, which is a very absurd take, I think, but that's just kind of where my head was at with soccer. It's I don't understand the strategy, I don't get it. And I was well, watch what people are doing. It was kind of
watch people in the crowd, see if they're getting hot dogs, beers,
right? Yeah, you could do that, or you could be how I watch the trenches a lot when I watch football.
Sure. You found your offensive and defensive line,
right? And so I was let's just see what other people are doing outside of who has the ball. And it was fascinating watching defenders and midfielders doing different things depending on where the ball was. And I just never really thought about that, because I've always just been I don't understand soccer, so I'm not even going to try. But it was I really just, this year I've been focusing in on different things and noticing how it all makes sense, in terms of how they're reacting. I just never thought about it. I know it's probably just a pedestrian take, but it's there's a shit ton going on in soccer.
Can you explain further what they're doing?
Well, it's just depending on where the ball is. I mean, this is so rudimentary, but depending on where the ball is, it's people are going to do different things depending on where they are in relation to the ball and where the ball is in the field. And I just never really took that in. I was always just the ball's here. They're passing it back and forth. Who gives a shit? But now I was I understand why the defender is going back, because he's really worried about the ball getting behind him, sure. Sort of thing, if the ball is being advanced. And it sounds so stupid. I really don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm trying with soccer now.
I'm sure you're onto something.
I'm trying to be okay, I kind of see why people like this game. And I've always kind of written it off. Soccer has never appealed to me. But I'm really trying this year to be all right, it's not going anywhere. This is also the site of the, American team now is Atlanta, the official training site.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I don't know. And the World Cup's coming here in a couple of years. So it's
you want to know what's going on.
Yeah, just know what the hell's going on. Don't write it off just because you don't connect with the sport as much. It's not going anywhere. So might as well just say, oh, what the hell's going on with this? I don't know.
Sure.
But it was good. Atlanta won 3-0, and it was an exciting game.
Yeah, we were wrong. Probably first and only time when...
Only time.
When we thought that, this hype around Atlanta United would die down.
There's still some ravenous fans.
Has not happened.
No. I mean, I would say the hype has definitely died down a little bit from when they, the inaugural season, when people were just absolutely insane.
Yeah.
But
they still have games where they do sell out the whole stadium.
Right. And this game I mean, it was a little bit of a sleepy, like, Sunday at 3:30 kind of thing. But you like that fan, like the really big supporter section behind one of the goals. I was like, I mean, I would kill for a Falcons game to feel like that. And even the Saints game we went to last year, there were times when it would rival that, but I was like, consistently, those guys were into the game, and it's a whole section, and every, you know. And the thing I also like about soccer, it's over in an hour and a half, two hours. You know, it's like, or maybe a little over 2 hours with halftime and whatnot, but it's gets in, gets out, and it's a fun game.
I mean, I guess that's the difference. It is constant action where scoring can happen at any time,
right?
Versus all the TV timeouts and,
oh god, with football, it's just
everything.
Like,
it can be such a slog. You can't get up and be jacked the entire time.
I mean, I would say watching football at home is a million times better than, maybe not a million. That's let me recant that. But it's not a million times better. But like when I go to a Falcons game, like I still love watching football live. But I'm also like, it'd be nice to be able to just, I don't know. Like at home, you could go make a drink. You could get up and go to the bathroom and feel like you're not missing much. And you could see, like, that's the one thing about football. It's like, depending on where you are in the stadium, and you could say that about any sporting event, but it's particularly football. Like, if you aren't at the 30 or 50 yard line or whatever, like, you're not in, like, you know, you're looking at, like, if you're at the end zone or at the corner of the end zone, it's like, there are times where you're like, I don't know what the hell is going on. Even when you're in the corner at the field level. Like for the Saints game, we had great seats, but there were times when it was like on the other side of the field, and I was like, you know, I felt like that guy in that meme, you know, when he's looking, when he's got the sunglasses on and he's like, has his hand on his forehead where he like can't see anything. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck's going on over there?
I think that's a woman, by the way.
Maybe it's a woman. But you know what I mean? It's the game out of all the games, it's the one where I'm like, it's hard to tell what's going on the other end of the field.
And, like, you really can't watch the trenches from the other side of the field.
It's really hard to watch the trenches.
And I know that's what you're
I love watching all the about. Trenches. Yeah.
Yeah. Do we have any Falcons talk this week?
They signed this guy, Kevin King, who's been a...
Is this the cornerback?
Cornerback, like, 9-year veteran. Apparently, he was at Washington the same time Jimmy Lake, our new defensive coordinator, was at Washington. He's an injury case. He makes Chris Sale look like Greg Maddux in terms of the amount of injuries this guy has had.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm sure it's going to be like a veteran minimum thing, but 9 years of experience. Didn't even play for the entire 2023, or I can't remember if it was a 2022 or 2023 season. That's hard to say. But pretty much this guy is shouldn't be expected to have a major impact. I think it's more of a depth piece, but... You know, these coaches go out and get their guys. Like, you think about Arthur Smith bringing, like, Janu here.
All the time.
Felipe Franks, you know, he loved his big tight ends. You know, like Jimmy Lake, I guess.
Even if they're quarterbacks.
Right. Jimmy Lake likes this cornerback that he was with when he was the coach of Washington. Yeah. So, I don't expect anything from that. We signed a couple other people, a defensive lineman that no one knows about. Like, it's very much quiet before the storm in terms of the draft. But apparently the Falcons, Adam, are very interested in Michael Penix. Went to a private workout or something like that. Went to his private workout, and it's like Fontenot and a couple other people of note were there. And I'm like, we better not be taking this guy at number 8.
I was going to say, what, in like the 3rd round are we interested in him?
Yeah, I would hate to take him in the 2nd round too. We shouldn't be taking a quarterback this year.
No.
Especially when you invested all that money.
With 4 years in Cousins, right?
Yeah.
Plus, Heinicke gave his money back.
Right. Like, Heinicke came back which and is only coming back for like $1.5 million or something like that.
Yeah, because he knew his ass was about to get cut. So
right.
I'm happy with that resolution. Why are we looking at Penix? What if we traded Cousins after signing him?
Jesus God.
Back to the Vikings for some DNs.
They don't have any. The best DN's gone. Oh. And Danielle Hunter went to, I can't remember, Houston.
Yeah.
Or something. Went somewhere.
That's crazy.
I'm not going to read too much into it. I think, like, all questions will be answered on draft night. Everything else is bullshit.
I'm trying to think if anyone has, like, 2 first round picks. But even if
we. The Bears have 2 first round picks.
Well, they have number 1 overall,
they
right?
They do, but they also have number 9 or something, too.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, someone behind us that we could, like, trade back.
Minnesota again.
Okay,
they're behind us.
I don't know.
I don't want Penix under any circumstance.
Yeah,
like if it was a thing where we didn't get Kirk Cousins and you wanted to take a chance on him, I would still wouldn't love it because I'm like, we need a defensive end more than like human beings on this earth need oxygen. But I don't know.
We did sign the D tackle, Eddie Goldman.
Who that was one of the guys
who has quit on us twice. Like, I think he's a good player, but like we've signed him, he retired. Sign him again, retired, and we're signing him for a third time now.
That's the most Atlanta shit, man.
This is crazy.
This is crazy.
Like, what does Eddie Goldman have on? I guess the guy just can't make his mind up, and he's like, "Well, I owe it to you guys. Well, now I really owe it.
Now
to
I
you
really
guys.
Owe it to you, but he'll probably retire again.
Yeah. So I wouldn't count on him.
Yeah,
but he's a big beefy boy.
We need a big beefy boy in the middle, especially if your base defense is 3-4, but it's probably not the guy you're looking for if he's retired twice after signing with you. What? So we didn't talk about the Hawks last week, obviously, because we didn't have a show, but what did you think about the Hawks beating the Celtics twice in a week?
Super impressive. Week? No, it's like it's interesting to see. It's kind of like this stretch of run without Trae Young is like proving that he's the issue defensively.
Especially, yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, so they have some fight, and then like with getting Jalen Johnson back, and I don't know when Okongwu is coming back.
I mean, there's only like 5 or 6 games left in the season, so he might not be coming back at this point.
Yeah. But I mean, like, we'll beat the Celtics, but then like we still have some bad losses that'll follow that up. It's kind of mostly the same. They're a little more intriguing than they were.
Yeah, they're not quite as maybe they're more exciting. I don't know. But, like, I couldn't watch the Hawks game against the second Hawks game against Boston. But we listened to it. Steve Holman on the radio was fantastic. And just
another great performance.
Oh, God, he's so good. I mean, he's been doing it for longer than we've been alive. But it was just so awesome watching or listening to Steve call DeJounte's game winner against Boston. Like, DeJounte is that guy you want at the end of the game to take the clutch shot. I mean, yeah. He's got 3 or 4 game winners this year. I remember in January he had that big game winner against Miami. He has this big game winner against Boston. I think there's another one that I'm not thinking. I can't remember the specific incident. But when was the last time you saw Trae Young had a game winner? Like, the Hawks have a really big decision to make in terms of who they want to build this franchise around. Is it going to be DeJounte or is it going to be Trae? And I think either way, DeJounte's play, since Trae has gone out, is good for the Hawks no matter what they do. Because even if you want to say, all right, build around DeJounte, fine. He's proven that he can win, even though like the team around him isn't amazing. Or you could say, all right, we want to build around Trae. DeJounte is building his trade value out the wazoo right now. He's proven that he can be an anchor for a franchise.
Yeah.
So either way, it's a win-win for the Hawks. It just depends on what they want to do with it.
I still think you're going to get a lot more for Trae than you would DeJounte just based off the name a little bit more.
Probably, but I mean, at the same time, I mean, even though DeJounte needed... He scored 44 points against the Celtics, but needed 44 shots to do that in. But he took over the game, man, and that's just something that I think he can do a little bit better than Trae in terms of, like, when he has to take the shot, when he has to absolutely make it happen, he can do it. I don't see that enough from Trae. But that's not to take anything away from Trae. Trae's still a fantastic player. But I think DeJounte's a little bit more of a well-rounded player than Trae Young, and maybe that's recency bias or whatever, but you can't deny that even though DeJounte has his defensive deficiencies, the team overall is better in terms of defense, as you said, with DeJounte running point as opposed to Trae Young. And they can't coexist. We've tried it. There's apparently rumors that Trae Young's going to be back for the play-in tournament or maybe a little before that. I would honestly hold him out. I would just say, let's think about what we're going to do in the offseason. Like, we've seen that these guys can't coexist. They do not work well off ball. They need the ball in their hands to be the best they can be. And when they don't have the ball in their hands, it's a reason why we're in the play-in tournament every year.
I mean, maybe you can do something where, like, they're literally not on the court at the same time because, like, obviously Trae Young is better than any backup point guard we're running out there right now. So you're better off. But, like, yeah, no, I mean, you don't want to mess with what they have, the chemistry they have built recently.
Yeah, they'll just throw it all out the window. right now if they bring back Trey.
Would Trey come off the bench?
Well, here's the thing. Even if Trey comes off the bench, it's like, well, how do you do that exactly? Because I don't think you can really – because DeJounte, you know, even that Celtics game, he played like 45 minutes or something.
Yeah.
In that game that went into overtime. It's like if they can't coexist, it's like, well, how do you work that? Because they both need to be on the floor majority of the time. So there's really no – so you're saying, what, Trae Young's going to play 20 minutes a game or 15 minutes a game and
well,
just kind of –
he's coming back from injury.
I don't know. It's a weird position to be in. The Hawks are going to have a massive off season in terms of changes, I think.
Yeah.
Regardless of what happens, like changes are coming.
Yeah,
big changes
one
are coming.
Way or another for sure.
Yeah.
So right now they're down 3 to the Heat, Graham.
They played the Heat tough.
They were down big, so that's good.
Yeah, one of those Celtics games they were down 30 points and came back and won, which was insane. And then they beat them in overtime like 2 days later. So I don't know. That showed a lot to me from DeJounte, man, as just the de facto leader. So I'm kind of on Team DeJounte right now.
Is Sunday the last game of the season?
It's coming up because the playoffs are right around the corner.
Yeah, so I did see that. I saw like Trae Young pop up on like the bottom line yesterday saying something about how he's progressing towards returning shooting again and blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
blah. So
yeah, he is.
Guess it'll happen, huh?
Yeah, it's sort of going to be interesting to see what Quinn does in the play-in tournament. I think the Hawks are a lot better than all the other play-in teams, be it Chicago or Philly. Like that game against Chicago last week, we just crushed them. Like it wasn't even like the whole – like the Hawks were just on another level versus Chicago, even though Andre Drummond just kills us every time. He's had like 20 points and 20 boards, but the Hawks won by like 15 points. And Philly just sucks without Joel Embiid, so I'm not concerned about the play-in tournament. I'm really interested to see if Trey comes back, if Trey comes back, what happens if they play Chicago or if they play Philly? You know, because all I'm basing my prognosis off of in terms of the play-in tournament possibilities is what I've seen without Trey. But with Trey, I have no idea what to expect from this team. Other than what we've seen, which has been disappointment.
I'm starting a new segment on Atlanta Zone.
Okay.
Where I write down some predictions that you have in an episode, and then we're gonna revisit it. So, right. Chris Sale, Graham hates him.
I don't hate Chris Sale.
4-9-23, and then Graham not concerned about play in tournament. Also 4-9-23. So, it's 2024.
Yeah, 4-9-23. I was like, sounds wrong.
So let me, I'll revise that. But that'll be fun to look at next week after the play-in tournament.
Sure. We don't know when the play-in tournament is.
Well, maybe next week. It's got to be next week.
It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming soon.
Yeah.
I think that's it, Adam. Unless you have anything else you want to touch on.
Is it possible that Bruno Fernando is the reason that our defense has been better and not Trae Young being out?
The post defense still sucks,
okay.
I would say overall. the centers are still getting double doubles seemingly every game. Like the post defense still isn't great, but overall the defense is better, especially the perimeter defense and production or lack thereof of the guards that are playing against us. Still isn't like amazing. It's still like middle of the pack in terms of total defense, but it's like there's a market improvement, I think, with Trey not being on the floor in the backcourt.
Yeah, no, it's a hell of a storyline, him potentially coming back. I'm intrigued, Graham.
Who knows? Maybe they go on a batshit run. I mean, remember Miami last year, right? We beat them in the play-in tournament, and then they went like all the way to the NBA Finals or something.
And I'll say this about Trey. Like, he seems like he's a great teammate overall. Like, you see him on the bench every game, celebrating with the team.
I mean, even I think the game we were at, but the last game Alexa and I were at, like, you saw Trey on the sideline in his little blue Carolina blue hoodie, just like he was super into it. Like, the perception of Trey Young as a malcontent, I don't like. I think there have been times when he's shown a lack of maturity, but he's also still in his mid 20s. Particularly again that play-in game against Miami in the 2022 season where he was not in the huddle when what's his name? Who's the arrow coach? McMillan.
McMillan
was trying to like draw up a play, and he was not in the huddle. I thought it was a total bullshit and really pissed me off. But in terms of overall being a good teammate, I haven't seen anything else like that since then. I think he's taken steps as a leader. I think overall he's a good teammate, but I don't know what the point I'm trying to make is.
He wants to win.
He wants to win for
just
sure.
Just like us.
Yeah. Like, it's not like he's being a lazy piece of crap or something. Like, no. Like he's a great player. Even still at this point, I think he's like 7th or 8th overall in assists in the NBA this year, and he hasn't played for the last 2 months.
That's crazy.
That just shows how great of a distributor he is.
Yeah, and he might come back and just like be like, okay, I've seen how these guys are doing it with me out. I'm just going to set them up and let them ride. You know?
Maybe. He still has to be able to take control over a game, though, and we've seen him do it, but he's just, I think the biggest thing with the Hawks, whoever is the guy, whether it's DeJounte or Trey, you have to surround them with a more balanced team. And hats off to guys like Veet and
Garrison Matthews
and Wesley Matthews. Like, they're playing their butts off, but it's not, those guys are not going to lead you to an NBA title. So how they build around whoever they choose, whether it be Trey or DeJounte, will determine the fate of the franchise. You can't stay in this purgatory bullshit for the rest of our lives here. And that's how it feels like it's been, even though it's only been, I guess, 3 years of this now. So, or 2 years, whatever. Anyway, that's this episode of Atlanta Zone. Thank you all for listening. We hope you're well out there. Until next time, rise up, unite and conquer. Chop on and remain true to Atlanta. Hospitamisip.